the mat.
Some of the exercise I would have done when I was in my youth tend to take their toll on the body, so you're looking for something that's more in tune with where I am now.
Big stretch, ground that back foot. It keeps you fit, it keeps you balanced.
Let's speak to meditation and yoga teacher Meetha Shah. Good evening.
Hi,
Ajmal. Hi. Let's start off with first time this yoga day has taken place. International, many hundreds of countries taking part. What are your thoughts on this new day then?
I really feel that it's going to help just spread the profoundness of yoga. And it's really come at a crucial time because we have lots of tools for science and technology, enough to make or break the world. But it's really important that we have this inner sense and awareness of life. And we experience every other being as really part of ourselves, and that's the purpose of yoga. Otherwise, our pursuit of well-being will just destroy everything, as you see, you know, what's happening in the world. But yeah, it's a really great thing, because if a certain population of the world experiences this, and definitely the quality of the world is going to change, I believe, and particularly the leaders of the world. You know, because they have influence over so many people. And the way, for all the problems of humanity, the solution is really to enlarge our perception. And that's what yoga will help us to do, from individuality to universality. And the declaration of this yoga day is really a significant step in this direction.
Now, unfortunately, there's been a bit of controversy around the day as well. Politically, some are saying that the Indian Prime Minister Modi is pushing a Hindu agenda. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so I think why yoga has got labelled as Hindu is because it's a science and a technology which grew in this culture. But really, what religion you belong to has nothing to do with the ability to make use of this system, because it's a technology, and it doesn't make any distinction to what you believe in, what you don't believe in, because what we believe in is purely a psychological process. It's got nothing to do with making use of yoga. But one, I suppose an example that I can give is that yoga is Hindu just the way gravity is Christian, just because the law of gravity was propounded by Isaac Newton, who lived in a Christian culture. Does that make gravity Christian? And really, yoga predates all religion. So before human beings even started thinking about forming religious groups, the idea that a human being can evolve himself was, you know, came from Adi Yogi, who is the first yogi. And it means union. It can only unite people. It's both a philosophy and a science. So it's really for everyone of any faith, and even no faith, as you know, everybody over the world is practicing it, particularly today.
Yeah. What are the histories of yoga coming to the UK, Meetha?
I don't really know the accuracy of this, but maybe the first Hindu teacher was Swami Vivekananda, who toured Europe and the US in the 1890s. And then in the 1930s and 40s, it began to gain more public acceptance because a celebrity endorsement, and then in the 60s, I think the interest in Eastern spirituality really reached its peak. But teachers such as Shivananda, Saraswati, and Krishnamacharya, Iyengar, and even Yogi Bhajan brought Kundalini yoga. So, and really, yoga boom in the 1980s, I feel, came along. I think as Dean Ornish, who was a follower of Swami Sachidananda, connected yoga to heart health, and he legitimized yoga as a purely physical system of health, exercise, and not connected with any religious denomination. But I'd like to share something which Barack Obama said. He said yoga has become a universal language of spiritual exercise in the United States, crossing many lines of religion and cultures. Every day, millions of people practice yoga to improve their health and overall well-being. That's why we're encouraging everyone to take part in Presidential Active Lifestyle Award. So show your support for yoga and answer the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, it's become, as you said, a huge industry. Celebrities, people on the street, people in churches going in and doing it in church halls, rather. what kind of different elements are there to practicing it? And is it something that anyone can just go and turn up and do?
I feel it has to be the right atmosphere, the right environment. The teacher has to be trained well. Because it is a very subtle practice. We're working, you know, we consist of the physical body, we consist of the mental body. But for these two to function, there's also an energy body. And that's what most yoga practices target. That's the level that they're working on. So it really isn't an exercise. And in the clip that I heard that you played earlier, it talked about boxing yoga and...
Yeah, there's so many different elements, aren't there?
Yoga. But is that really yoga? You know, I do ask myself, is that really yoga? It's just another form of exercise. Okay. Yoga is a lot deeper. The asana is only one limb of the eight limbs of yoga. And in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, only three aphorisms out of 195 relate to asana, and they refer to the seated meditation pose. But roughly about 1,000 years ago, a form of yoga called Hatha Yoga developed that emphasized working with the body as a vehicle through which awakening can occur. But these days, you know, people think of asanas as impressive body-twisting postures that are just about fitness or flexibility or building muscle. But, you know, yoga by its very definition means that which takes you to a higher dimension, a higher perception of life. And it does involve a certain amount of body, mind, and energy and the innermost core. But unfortunately, you know, something this profound is often reduced to a physical exercise.
So is it something that someone like you, a meditation expert, yoga expert, would you implement everything you learnt in yoga in your kind of day-to-day life rather than just do it when you are...
Yoga is for every moment. Yoga is about being aware. It's not just yoga on the mat. You can't feel peaceful on the mat and feel good about everyone, feel at one with everyone because you're so relaxed. And then the next moment, you know, you come home and start shouting at the kids.
Yeah.
It really is about bringing yoga to life and being aware and also maintaining that little bit of space between you and your mind, you and your body. Because those are just things that we've accumulated because they're not going to be there forever. So, you know, who are we really? So it's about connecting to a deeper part of yourself, which is already always free, which is already always at peace.
Mita, it's been fascinating speaking to you. Thank you so much for coming on and speaking to me.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.
That was Mita Shaw, a meditation and yoga teacher. And told you, something about yoga teachers. Mita's got that voice as well, that, you know, very calming, sultry voice that you just want to listen to. Could have carried on talking to her for another 15 minutes. Anyway, yes, your thoughts, please. Have you recently taken it up? And is it something that, like Mita was saying there, you know, it encompasses your whole being? It's not just about going once a week to a church hall and doing it for a bit. If you have kind of really embraced it, I'd love to hear from you. Get in touch, 81333. Start your text with the word Stoke.